Okay, so our next presentation is Gebahn Behncke. His title is Long Term Crop Rotation and Tillage Effects on Greenhouse Gas Emission in Illinois. Thank
you. Yep, moving over one state to the west. Yeah. To start off, we'll start with an overview. I'm going to cover background, some objectives, the materials and methods, results, conclusions, and then if there's time, the next steps. So the importance of this, as we learned in the last one, there's management practices such as crop type, tillage, residue, and nitrogen fertilization. They all affect soil, physical, and hydrological conditions, which lead to greenhouse gas emissions. And nitrous oxide emissions account for 69% of all the emissions from agricultural soils, and it's 300 times more or less the radiation force per mass compared to CO2. And the major crops grown in Illinois are corn and soybean, and that's trending up, and other supplemental crops such as wheat, oats, and hay are declining. And this is the majority of the crops are 97% are grown either continuous corn or corn and soybeans, and corn following something else is very low. And the tillage practices in Illinois are kind of even, but 30% or so are conventional, a little bit less no-till, reduced-till, mulch-till, not conventional tillage, more is how I'll lump those together. And the background, switching from conventional tillage to no-till systems will mitigate greenhouse gas emissions, and cumulative emissions under no-till were found to be lower than till in many studies, and continuous corn emitted 2 to 3 times more emissions compared to till in the extended rotation of corn, soybean, and wheat. So most research is done in Illinois on greenhouse gas emissions, but they only focus on either rotation or tillage separately. Very little are focused on both of them together. And even fewer are focused on long-term studies, which ours is a long-term study. The objective of this study was to determine the effect of rotations and tillage on greenhouse gas emissions, N2O, CO2, and CH4 after 15 years of management. So the study site was Monmouth, Illinois, which is in northwestern Illinois, and it's about 8 kilometers from Monmouth, the city. And it was formed in a mollisol under prairie, and the plots were established in 1997. This is a plot map from Webb Soil Survey just showing that silt loam, silty clay loam, pretty standard Illinois, good quality soils. And the study, what I'm doing is a small part of a large study that we looked at soil properties in the full profile, which in those included texture, bulk density, and water aggregate stability, and also chemical properties, pH, total carbon, total nitrogen, phosphorus, CEC, inorganic nitrogen. And my portion, which is the greenhouse gas emissions, focused into CO2, methane, and soil properties, which I won't cover in this, but I have for another day, are the inorganic nitrogen, temperature, and moisture to 10 centimeters. That's what we're studying today. So some materials and methods. How I got my measurements were based on the GraceNet chamber-based trace gas flux protocol, and I analyzed that on a Shimatsu GC2014 with an electron capture device or detector. And the chambers were, so in the corn plots, we had 2 in each plot, 1 in the row and 1 between the row. And in the soybean and wheat plots, we just had 1 in the plot itself. And we took measurements at 0, 10, 20, and 30-minute intervals. And to calculate a flux over time, we took those measurements and estimated the flux over the time from the points coming off of the GC. And cumulative flux throughout the year, which is what I'm going to focus on for my results, were estimated using linear interpolation between the sample days collected. And cumulative fluxes, or the emissions that I'm going to report, were just based on when the crop was growing in the field. So the experimental design, there were 4 blocks. The main plot was a rotation, and there are several rotations here, and I'll have another slide here in a second showing which ones we're focused on specifically. And the subplot was tillage, either no-till or conventional tillage, and it was over 4 years, covering 2012 through 2015. So for my study, we're going to, for the main plot, the rotations, we're looking at corn, soybean, and then the flip, soybean, corn, continuous corn, continuous soybean, and the wheat, corn, soybean rotation over those 4 years. And just to reiterate that they're silty clay loam, silt loam. Here's the soil texture. They're all very similar there. This slide I'm showing just 1 year, and this is to show the effect of rain. Rain is at the top, precipitation, temperature below that. The nitrous oxide flux just from a day averaged, in this case, over the crop type. And also the management practices there, we applied 180 UAN to the rotated corn and 220 for the continuous corn. That's pretty standard practices in Illinois. And the soybeans received no fertilization. And here's the carbon dioxide flux plots broken down by crop. And as you can see on this one, they're a little bit less different for the cumulative flux throughout the year. That'll be a trend we'll see here on the next slide. So my data needed a log normal transformation. So that's what we did on that. And we had to do that for nitrous oxide and carbon dioxide. And methane we did, but there weren't any significant differences between methane. So for the nitrous oxide, there was a rotation effect and a rotation by tillage interaction. And we'll cover the interaction first. This shows that the continuous corn in the tilled plots emitted the most overall and more than the continuous corn no-till, but it wasn't, the continuous corn no-till wasn't different between either the corn soybean, but those were higher than the soybean itself, continuous soybean, or wheat corn soybean rotation. The rotation effect in the nitrous oxide plots show that continuous corn emitted the most when averaged across tillage, corn soybean next, and the two other crops, soybean, corn, continuous soybean, and the wheat crop emitted less than the corn soybean and continuous corn. Now we'll switch to carbon dioxide, and it also needed a log normal transformation. And in the carbon dioxide, the only significance was in the rotation. So these plots here, the continuous corn emitted the most, but it wasn't different from the corn soybean, but both of those were higher than the soybean corn, continuous soybean, and the wheat corn soybean. I should also add that the significance letters at the top are based on the transform data, but the numbers themselves are just the averages, so then we can compare them between other studies and what we could see today. So some conclusions that we drew over the 4 year study was that continuous corn tilled emitted more than continuous corn no-till, but that was not different between either the corn soybean till or no-till. And cumulative nitrous oxide emissions from the corn phase of the rotation was higher than the soybean, but the soybean wasn't different from the wheat. And cumulative carbon dioxide emissions were not affected by tillage within rotations, and rotations with more corn led to more emissions during that corn phase than the soybean or wheat phase. Pretty much meaning that as you add corn into there, continuous corn emits more than corn soybean, which emits more than the corn soybean wheat. And methane emissions were not different among any of the years or any of the treatments. And more benefits of rotations, as we lower the number of years of corn, greenhouse gas emissions are mitigated due to lower nitrogen fertilization inputs. And tillage only increases cumulative nitrous oxide emissions in continuous corn compared to the other rotations. And tillage had no effect on carbon dioxide emissions. And right now I'd like to acknowledge my advisor, Maria Villamil, and Emerson Napsiger. And Stacy Zuber helped out a lot with this project, and several grad students, undergrads, the farm crew, and of course the funding.
Thank you.
We have got time for several questions.
What kind of fertilization happened in the soybean or the wheat
phase? The wheat, I believe the wheat was UAN. It was applied once in the fall, I think at planting, and then again at the spring to supplement it. And soybean didn't receive any fertilization. I don't exactly know that.
Why do you think you've got those two tillage treatments?
The reason why the tillage is increased? I think it's just mineralization of organic matter and that just exposing it to oxygen.
Is it true that it appears in the graph you showed that you started measuring the N2O at the time of fertilization and that the flux was already reasonably high at that time?
So when they planted, we couldn't have the chamber bases in the field. So we put them in the day that they planted and sampled then, and none of the years did it rain the day that they planted. So we feel that captured a good amount of the nitrous oxide fluxes.
What was your sampling frequency? I mean, I realize 0, 10, 20, 30, but like lots of weight, 132 weeks, how many times during the season?
I think on
average. Did you measure any total plant nitrogen uptake?
We didn't measure plant uptake, but we did probably about 15 times during the growing season. Generally, we try to sample right after a rain event, too.
Did you see any differences in the episodic nature of the release? What I'm saying, with these different systems, for example, did in that no-till, was there greater nitrous oxide maybe early? And the other system might have been later. Did you look at those kind of aspects?
I haven't really looked like by date if there's a lot of differences between those. No, I just focus mainly on the cumulative flux for this presentation.
How about the rainfall? You mean, do you have rainfall or any reason? Do you have any decisions? Rainfall or fertilization?
No, but we have some moisture data, and rainfall events would be a good thing to look at around then, but no, I didn't focus.
Did you see the peak?
Yeah, you can see the peak this graph right here. These peaks right here are the precipitation, and they correspond pretty well to the peaks throughout the growing season, too.
Any more questions?
So, this study was done using different N rates for continuous phase versus warm side insulation. So, is your rotation effect totally compounded by N rate, or what do you speculate might happen to comparison that is similar N rate? Did the continuous corn yield significantly less than the rotation corn despite that?
I'm not entirely sure about the yields on that, but I think that the rotation benefited the corn in the yield, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
And with respect to that question on the comparable N rate, what if you reduced your N rate for corn and then
looked at continuous corn? I mean, I would imagine that the fluxes would go down a little bit for continuous corn if it was applied at the same rate as the corn soybean, but we didn't study that, so I'm not entirely sure.
Any more questions? Okay, thank you very much.